This episode was recorded in November 2020. If you enjoy this podcast, then subscribe to catch all future episodes.
How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, Rob. How you doing?
Yeah, do you know where I am?
I'm England.
I am about 20 miles from Pratt's Bottom.
You're joking.
I'm telling you, honestly.
Is that where you live? Where you're from?
I'm from Liverpool, but I'm in Cran. Do you know Cranbrook, just south of Maidstone?
I do know. I played cricket in Cranbrook when I was, you know.
Oh. No.
Yeah. Village cricket. It was, you know.
Who do you play for?
Oh, I was playing for Halstead.
Nice.
Halstead is down near Shoreham. But right. I didn't expect this to be a Pratt's Bottom. I didn't expect Pratt's Bottom to come up at all.
Well, do you know what?
Bizarre. Haven't revised or anything.
Well, bizarrely, the reason I go through Pratt's Bottom is my son, actually, we've had a good day today because I've been in the Middle East for 10 years. And the reason we came home is my son plays cricket for Kent.
Does he really?
Well, he plays
cricket for Kent.
Oh, right, because he's literally found out he's been put in the Kent Academy. There's only two lads have been put in. So, and we go to Beckenham, which is through Pratt's Bottom, through Bromley.
Beckenham
plays, and where he obviously trains as well at times. So I saw, in fact, I was going the other day before I even heard or knew we were going to do this. I'm driving through towards Bromley and I went, Pratt's Bottom, what can the name be that? And then I was like, where's he from? He's from Pratt's Bottom. Nah.
Is it on the internet that I'm from Pratt's Bottom?
Yeah, well, is that right, is it?
That is exactly right. That's where I spent, you know, that's where I grew up, sure.
Because then I feel like a really weird kind of stalker, you know, when I'm doing these things. Because I'm like, Chris O'Shea, what can I do? He didn't do that. Worth school you went to, yeah?
Yeah, back in the day, you know. About 15 years ago now.
I've got to ask you this one first. I just want to get this out of the way because I'm watching today, right?
And sure.
I watched Exit Strategy.
Did you? Oh, brilliant. Yeah. That was great. Like,
wow, this is great. This is brilliant. We'll chat about it. But the first line, or one of the first lines, is Roberto Firmino's just scored for Liverpool against Manchester United.
Yeah.
I'm going, that can only be him. Because that can't be an American thing.
So when you sort of produce your own stuff, as you know, occasionally you've got to do, and that was, you know, that whole thing is one of the most rewarding things I've done because it was all of our mates going down and shooting something in, you know, in the middle of Louisiana, which is cool. And then you've got to do the soundtrack afterwards. And he was like, look, do you want to play the commentator? And so that was the line. It was like Roberto Firmino scores from a corner. It had to be really specific. And I'm a Liverpool fan anyway. So yeah, it was just the other day it was, you know, oh yes, there it is.
I've got one as well, Dad. I've got one as well. He's got to be a Liverpool fan with the opening line bit. What are the owners?
Oh, he's got, yeah, no, sure. It's sure. The other morning, it was, you know, a bit of empty time, and I was like, oh, but the football's back. Thank God for that. I'll cheer myself up. You know, what is it? Who have we got today? Oh, Villa, brilliant. Great. This will be a good one. They're the ones who spent 50 million on a couple of guys from the Championship. Brilliant. This is going to be great.
What? Where do you watch it then? And what's the time difference? I'm still.
Eight hours. So I'm 8 hours. 8 hours back. I get up at like ungodly o'clock and flick the telly on, and all the games are live. And yeah. But yeah.
Why Liverpool? How did that come about?
All my family are West Ham fans. My entire family, my brother, my dad, they all support West Ham. And when I was very, very little, I was a contrary, you know, I was quite a contrary kid. And I was watching Casualty back in like probably about 94. And one of the lines was John Barnes, best player from Liverpool. And from then on, young Chris was like, John Barnes, my favourite player, Liverpool, my team. which makes no sense at all, but it makes as much sense as identifying with any team, I suppose. But my entire family, I used to go to West Ham every week. You know, when I went to my dad's, it was like, when we couldn't get in at West Ham, we'd go to Selhurst Park because you could always get in and watch Crystal Palace or Wimbledon.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that was, yeah, most of my football was watching was at Upton Park.
Do you miss anything?
Watching you on Goals on Sunday, by the way. That, with, like, this is a real moment for me, actually, Rob. You know, most of the time, it's you and Harry Redknapp. Those are great chats, by the way. And now it's me. This is huge. This is legitimately huge.
That's fantastic. That is brilliant. Listen, when did you go to the States? How did you end up there?
Well, you know, I left drama school sort of 2010, and it was, you know, I'd done a bit, did some theatre, was at the Globe, you know, I was just going along, but I was about 25, and I was thinking, well, unless I go now, I will always think, you know, maybe something could have happened bigger. And I came out just to, my brother lived here, he's in visual effects, yeah, so that I could stay with him. And I went to this casting workshop, you know, one of the, back in the day, back about like 8 years ago, you could pay to meet a casting director, which quite rightly they've clamped down on now.
Yeah.
But I paid the money and I, you know, went to this out of town sort of industrial park, and there's loads of people just sitting in silence waiting for the casting director. And long story short, she was like, right, you've got to go to see this. She saw me read this scene from their equivalent, their hospital drama. And she was like, right, you've got to go here. Tell them I sent you. You've got to go here. And she sort of sorted me out. And then this lady who she sent me to, this manager, she sent me to an audition. So like I arrived in LA, seen this person. I'm at an audition like 4 days later. And I ended up getting the part. And then it was like, okay, you need to go over here. And it was like, they'll give you a go in America in a way that, yep, it's more difficult in England. And I suppose that's kind of why I did it. Like, in the hope that something like that would happen, you know. And while it's, you know, it's ups and downs, it's a lot more ups than it was, a lot more opportunity, you know.
It's fantastic. But honestly, I mean, I've loved to watch, okay, you know, with Patriots Day and Alaska is a drag. And I mean, but to be fair, do you know what? You've got to push Exit Strategy. That is a series. That's a Netflix series waiting to happen, isn't it? That?
You know, yeah, you know, you're right. I think it's got a lot of potential, and it's the fact that we did it ourselves. You know, it was it's a funny thing, isn't it? It probably works in life and in other areas. If you want to get something going, start your own project. You'll be surprised, yeah, what other things then start to happen. It was that way. In fact, when we planned to shoot it, I kept having to get pushed because other jobs would magically fall out of the sky because we were planning to do our own thing. And then there was a moment where we'd written a script ourselves, we got our mates, and we were in this sort of little motel in Shreveport, Louisiana.
Brilliant.
This complete like mum and pup operation about to go out into the swamps. And that forest area was all sort of like woodland Louisiana. And we were all like a tight knit crew just in convoy. And there was a remarkable sense of just ownership in a way you don't normally get of like Hollywood, yeah, stuff. And do you know what? I remember thinking, if this can be like a series, if this can be all the time, all of us going out and making this and being paid for it, I mean, yeah, that's the dream. That's the dream.
Has anybody picked it up? Have you pushed it or?
I mean, yeah, Amazon have picked it up in that it's now on the Amazon platform.
Right.
And it's got, look, how many millions of views? It's been viewed millions of times on various websites and on YouTube. And Travis, who did the directing and the writing, he's writing a feature, but no, that you know, it's not imminent. No, I think, you know, he's got that little production company. We've got several things sort of going on in production all the time. But yeah, I agree. I think that could be a real goer. I really do. Yeah, be a nice job.
What do they? I've got all these questions written down, and there was one I thought, I wonder if I'll ask him or not. But do you know what? Wait, do you get? Oh, you're just like Hugh Grant, or do you get? You're just like Jude Law, or do you? Well, you must get, because I'm just watching.
I appreciate that, Rob. I do. I appreciate you putting that out there.
I don't know whether that's good or bad.
You know, I've got, ever since I was at drama school, that people have said, you know, Hugh Grant a little bit. That's a lovely one, yeah. Yeah, and not so much that one. I appreciate it. But no, Hugh Grant I got a lot because, you know, the whole accent and the And well, you know, I just sort of sorry, I just, you know, that all that that's that comes very naturally.
How do we love you?
But he's a he's a fabulous actor, Hugh Grant. Yeah. He didn't, you know, those films where he made a name for himself and then ended up getting asked to do it again and again and again. He's actually a terrific actor. And you know, he's in that, what was it, that one, the Cloud Atlas, where he's like licking human blood from a sword in a way you never see Hugh Grant do. That's
Old, but you are like a romantic lead, aren't you? Even though a bisexual romantic.
Get it, Rob.
I'm watching Simple Wedding. I'm going, bloody hell!
Oh, you know, that's huge. Oh, great.
Yeah, huge.
You have done your research. I appreciate it.
Well, now the thing is, because I was in the Middle East. We were in Dubai for 10 years, so there's lots of Iranians, lots of Iranian friends, and all that kind of thing. And so I was fascinated. I was in Dubai for 10 years. Yeah, we just come back.
What were you doing? What program was it?
I was doing football, hosting football, World Cups, Euros, Premier League. Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Massive. Huge in Omar, huge in Kuwait.
Well, and what's the next? Well, like, I know this is, yes, come on, lads. I know this is meant to be you interviewing me, but I'm curious, like, what are you doing now? Like, what, now that the football
I've come back to England, and I've gone, we came back for, my two of my kids were at boarding school from the Middle East. One came back for cricket, my son. My daughter's now just gone to Glasgow. This is great, isn't it? My daughter's just gone to Glasgow. She's doing veterinary. And so what the hell, what are we doing in the Middle East when our kids are over here? We've got another little one battering me because we're doing this interview at 9 o'clock when she wants to watch something, I don't know, American Love Island or something.
I won't keep her long.
So, and then we came back, but England's tough at the moment with COVID and, and as you'll find at different things. I mean, I was always ugly, but now I'm old and ugly coming back. So they don't want... They don't want presenters like me. You know what I mean?
Oh, so I failed to believe it. Yeah,
I've fallen into interviewing people like you, which is just fantastic.
Yeah, sure.
What's the dog called? I promised I'd ask.
Stanley.
Where from? Where you got him from, a home or something?
We got Stanley from... Go away, Stan. We got Stanley from... So in this empty time, one of the things I've been... You know, I don't know. Occasionally, I have to... do something, spend a day doing something for another animal, and we went down to this unmanned shelter in Taft, California, because, you know, we live in Los Angeles at the moment, and we went to this unmanned shelter where they've got a load of dogs and they just turn up once a day, put food in the bowls and then leave them.
Right.
And it's in the desert and it's miserable and it's a dead end, really. And we went up there because we've been, you know, using this time to rehab dogs, find them good families. And we thought, you know, we'll take on a bit of a challenge now. And so we found this, I mean, here he is. He's a big pit bull.
Stan, yeah.
There you go. Stan.
What's he like, nature? Has he got a good nature?
He does now. Yeah, he does. He's got an absolutely lovely nature. I don't know if you know staffies and pit bulls and stuff, but they
scare me to death. I'm like you know, in Tom and Jerry, when the dog's after Tom and he turns into that bone. That's like me. Dogs just want to bite me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know exactly the scene you mean as well. But no, he is actually lovely, and we thought no one else is gonna have him. And I love staffies, I love pits. I think they've got a wonderful energy and love to them. And if they can be shown a bit of kindness, they repay it like tenfold. And so we pulled him and we've had him for 3 months and we've just found him a lovely family, school teacher, couple of kids, and he's gonna be golden. So yeah.
My daughter will be pleased. I tell you what, do you know what? My son, my big son, who's in back in Dubai, his wife, she's like, Bridget Bardot was the cat lady. She actually looks a bit like Bridget. So she got a cat. He comes home, they've got a cat. Oh God, you know, I don't really want... The cat's called Bobby, after Bobby Firmino.
Oh, brilliant.
So she's just brought in, once again, he had nothing to do with it. Suddenly they've got a little dachshund, which are kind of popular over here now because there's an advert with dachshunds on. Guess what the dachshund's called?
Mo.
Stevie.
Stevie.
Stevie the jazz chant. It's brilliant. He's like, Stevie. So Stevie Gerrard's still there. Listen, you got shot. You were too keen in the rookie. I saw the rookie today. I've seen all your stuff.
Oh, you've gone through the entire oeuvre.
You were there 1 minute playing darts in the pub, and the next minute you were too keen to get that guy.
Yeah, well, you know, so you've got to take what's on the table, and this was a one episode and gone, in dead gone. I'll take that all day. You know, it was getting paid for about an hour's work, most of which was unconscious acting, which I'm very good at.
Do you know what makes me laugh though? What do? They ring you up and go, God, we need someone who's about to die. Chris, what are you doing? Are you free this morning? Is that how it works?
I'm like the slightly lower profile Sean Bean. I don't mind dying in something, you know. Anything to get out of like a bit of work. I don't, yeah, no. I should say that.
Right, hang on. But Jareth Glover, massive.
Yeah, no, that was a good one. That was a great one, in fact.
Madam Secretary's on Sky.
Yeah. That one's doing the rounds on Sky. It's it was a great one because, you know, it's regular episodic work on a great show, working with some Taylor Leone. That was great. And it sort of raises the profile a bit if you're on one of the big networks, and it basically it allows them to trust you with other things if they can see that on your resume or on your CV you've got, you know, you've worked on one of the big network shows that, you know, that you can do it. And that was fun. That was I'd never been to New York before, so it was like a couple of months in a hotel in New York going working on set. It was, you know, it was living the dream.
The thing is though, I must admit, I was going to say, you know, how do you deal with it when you're worrying? You don't sound very worried at all. It sounds like, oh yeah, well, you know, this comes up or that comes up, you know, like roll with the blows, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, life is good, you know, life is good in Los Angeles. I mean, the sun shines a lot. And in many ways, that is both a positive and a negative, because sometimes, you know, one needs the spur in the side in this industry to be completely honest that you're doing as an actor everything you can on a day when you don't have, when you're not in front of the camera, to make sure you're ready to act and you're ready to go, so to speak.
Are you good at that? Are you good at that?
I think I am, you know, but you also then need, especially in times like this, to give yourself a break. I mean, I think that's with everyone. If you have, sometimes there is nothing you can do to further your career as an actor, and you need to be able to relax and not go mental. And yeah, I think I am quite good at that. And you know, you want to get to the other side successful and sane. And if you were doing better this year than you were last year, it's difficult now, obviously, because of COVID. But then that has to be enough sometimes.
What's coming up for you? Anything? Or has COVID knackered everything?
COVID had a good old go at it. But I've got coming out a Jane Austen adaptation idea.
Yeah, I saw that. A modern persuasion.
Rob, you're a total pro. I mean, you've really gone on the deep dive here. I appreciate it. You know,
the thing with footballers, I just rock up and, you know, they go, I interviewed Sam Allardyce. I actually did a good interview with Sam Allardyce because
that's a good interview. He's not guarded, is he, really? Like,
well, it's, I mean, me and Sam, I saw him more in Dubai. And God, we had some nights out. But I ended up interviewing him the other day and I said to him, are you scared of dying? And nobody was like, I don't know where it came from. And he was like, he went, yeah, I am. It was fascinating. You know, things like that. It's brilliant.
Honest moment that you've shared with Sam Allardyce. Yeah,
exactly.
It's Big Sam's thoughts on death. I want to know, you know, has Gylfi Sigurd still got it in him? But no, like metaphysically, you know, are you scared of...
That's brilliant though, isn't it? I'm doing
that's why you get paid the big bucks, Rob.
It is. Listen, so go on, A Modern Persuasion, is it a big part?
It's decent, yeah. I mean, it's basically, as most of Jane Austen is, it's actually about the female lead. So the kind of refreshingly, the male love interests are sort of there to drive the plot. And yeah, it was good. It was a few weeks in the Hamptons in New York.
Brilliant.
Again, working with some great people. And yeah, I mean, my role was mainly to Hugh Grant it a little bit.
Yeah, brilliant.
And that was it. That was what I was there for. And yeah, it should be really good. I've not seen it. It's due for release soon. It's just been acquired by a distribution company, and you know, I'll see it soon. Hopefully.
Did you get sort of when? I mean, it was a lead in A Simple Wedding. After that, do sort of people view you differently? And go, hey, he's a lead in a. you know, a massive fail.
I hope so. I do my best not to think about things like that and try and maybe leave that, because there's no real control I can have over how somebody might see me, you know, like how somebody might, if I just keep my nose down and do the work that I can do, how people
see me. Do you worry about that?
Yeah.
About things like that?
About what about death? do I worry about which?
You must be. You, come on, we all like to be loved, don't we? You must be thinking what the reviews like.
The hands down, that the best thing that I've done, I did a play in New York a year and a half ago at Lincoln Center. I worked with Tom Stoppard, Sir Tom Stoppard, and he's there. You know, like he was 82 then, and we, and you walk in the room and you're performing for him. And I've got to admit, there was a time there where I was like, I wonder what Sir Tom thinks of me. And yeah, that was probably one of the few times where it's really been. And to be fair, he was lovely, and obviously knows that his opinion is huge for actors who are working for him. But no, I tried deliberately. I read all the and when the reviews came out for that, because I was, you know, the lead in that.
The reviews.
I read every single one.
It's like Joey from Friends, isn't it? What's it say? Yeah. A hard problem was the play. Plays or film? What if you had one? What would you prefer? What's the difference?
I think that the difference is mainly how much work it takes to do, but you know, if you like, I imagine you are with football, if you love it, it's not really work, and so it's kind of a pleasure. So the more work you do, you're obviously improving because you're practicing every day, and you're sort of there's a sort of honesty in the work anyway, because it's hard work and long hours, in a way that film is a little bit stop and start, is a little bit you know, hugely well rewarded for what it is, for the amount of work it is. But I think there's something in live theatre that is just a bit more rewarding overall. You know,
the one thing you can't do is if you forget your lines or whatever in a Tom Stoppard play, you can't throw in a funny, can you? I had a shocker with that. A little sidestep one that you sneak away with, which I can do all the time.
No. I did try, but he said to me once, we were doing a table read, and you know, I'm there on the page, like trying to, and he stopped me and he was like, Chris, you appear to have lost one of my full stops. I'd like it back.
Brilliant.
Yeah, like, all right. I'll make sure that's.
Yeah. My first boss at Granada, I was presenting Rugby League Live, was my first ever live gig. And he grabbed me at the end of the show and he went, do you realise you split an infinitive there? And I went, I said, I still don't know today. I don't know what an infinitive is now. And I was thinking, this is live from Widnes. It's sort of 3 degrees. It's snowing. You split an infinitive. Anyway,
yeah. Witness fans are really going to pick up on that. I think that's dear to them.
Listen, what do you do for like a night out in non-COVID? Do you go down the pub with the lads, or do you play in Vinnie Jones's football team, or what do you do?
They were about when I first moved out here. The LA All Stars were about. We played on the same. I never saw him out there, to be fair. But no, I do. You know, football's kept me sane a little bit in COVID. I play a couple of times a week.
Yeah.
Down in Santa Monica, and that's great because it's
brilliant.
You know, in lockdown, the one thing I really miss is going for a beer with the lads after football. I didn't realize how much I needed it, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that's the truth of most people, you know. And recently football's just started to come back, and God, it's a godsend, you know. But what we do is that the park's officially closed, but of course no one's locking the door.
So yeah,
we go onto the pitch, and one of the lads has got a petrol generator and a load of film lights that he sets up at night. So we
brilliant.
Have floodlit games of a Tuesday and a Thursday. It is brilliant.
Nothing like a game under lights.
Oh, those magical European nights.
We'll have loads more, don't worry. Listen, what was I going to say to you? Hang on, have I got a few?
No pressure, Rob. You know, you've been super
professional. Hang on, I don't want to go. I'm sure I had a couple of good ones that, you know.
Well, can I ask you questions until you remember?
Yeah, go on.
So I'm obviously a big fan of you and Chris Kamara's sort of style with interviews. Like, how did you guys sort of, I mean, you guys' chemistry sort of speaks for itself. Did that take some working on?
Well, to be fair, I got to know him when he was a footballer, first of all. When he was manager at Bradford, I think he lost his job at Bradford, and he was always wanted to get into the TV style. And he's just what you see is kind of what you get. Do you know what I mean? They used to say he was the hardest working footballer. He'll hate me for this. He was the hardest working footballer because he wasn't crap, but he wasn't Lionel Messi, but he made the very best of himself, which is an admirable quality.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
So when he got on TV, he was like a man possessed. He, you know, everything he does like 200%, if that's possible. And he wants to do it. He wants to be the best. And he laughs. The great thing is he laughs, and I hope I can do it. You've got to laugh at yourself, haven't you?
Yeah.
You cannot take yourself.
Enthusiasm that's communicated, you know, through the screen. You got it's literally enthusiasm that comes across and a love for what you're doing, and that you can't hide that. Like,
actually, that's the other thing that I've noticed since I've come back. Oh gosh, everybody takes it so seriously, you know. Oh, he's stats and I'm like, oh god, I quite just enjoy it for what it is.
I do love that, though, the Jeff Stelling. I do love a stat when he comes out with it. Like,
oh, genius. Man's a genius.
Yeah.
I did. Like, no, see, if I'd say, what's the proudest thing you've done? I'd say the proudest thing I actually hosted Soccer Saturday, which is, in my opinion, my humble opinion, the most difficult show in the world.
Oh.
In any acting, playing, TV, film, that is the hardest show in the world to do. And he makes it look like that, and it's not.
It's juggling. It's juggling stats and like one ear over here. Like,
it's amazing. Have you done a TV presentation?
I know, only a limited degree. I did some for I mean, it was a bit of a laugh, actually. It was my friend Josh needed a presenter for a show he was pitching. And so I was sort of the stand-in producer for an American DIY show called DIY. The conceit was where, like, that they were going to make a film for Quibi where you go up in an aeroplane, they drop down, and as it goes into zero G, you try and put together a DIY thing. And so I played Todd Hammer, the presenter, and I had to do my sort of like tool belt, like, you know, check shirt.
Come on, here we go. Yeah. Brilliant.
Yeah. You guys have a tough gig, I won't mind.
Listen, do you get back to England non-COVID? Do you come back?
Yeah, when I can. I did a little thing for the BBC about a year ago, and I'm coming back for Christmas, so I'll see the fam then. I mean, you know, God willing, you know, things don't escalate as they are. So, the eyes are on the flight all the time. But the plan at the moment is to come back, and I do make it back, and it's good to see my mum and dad a little bit and, you know, get back in touch with the lads.
Give me a ring. We'll come down to Cranbrook. We'll have a beer.
Oh, yeah. Love to.
Listen, when you need a TV presenter in your next film and when you found you at some point.
Do you know anyone?
I know a guy. Funny enough, you should say, I know a fella. Hey, listen, it's been lovely talking to you.
Yeah, pleasure.
And we'll keep in touch.
Let's. Yeah, absolutely.
And we'll watch with great interest what you do. You're doing great, mate. Well done.
I appreciate you, Rob. And yes, keep on cracking. And I hope to see you on the football soon.
We'll speak soon, Chris. Take care, mate. All the very best to you.
See you, Rob.
Cheers.